Marilyn, first of all, putting kind of a human face on that disaster, we know about the lives that were lost, but you were telling a story in your presentation about a nurse who could see her home and her invalid husband was there as it came. And tell me a little bit about that story, because that kind of puts a face on the numbers and the toll that the tornado cost you.
The nurse was able to look out the window of the floor that she was working on and see her house be directly hit by the impact of the storm. And her husband was in the home, invalid. She takes care of him. And she did not leave the facility. She stayed in the hospital and helped evacuate patients before she ever went to check on him to see how he was doing. So it was hours before she got to him.
Did he survive?
Yes, he did. She did find him in the rubble of their home, and he was okay.
Let's talk about, because, you know, a lot of areas do disaster drills, and you try to be somewhat prepared. Had Joplin and the hospital and perhaps other emergency providers done drills and had some idea of what they would do in an emergency, first of all?
Yes, we drill all the time on a variety of different things, and part of our Joint Commission status is that you have these drills and that you do post review and make sure you know what you can do to improve. So yeah, we had, matter of fact, we were planning a drill right before the storm hit.
But for something of that magnitude, I mean, is there any way that you actually can prepare for something that was that devastating and took that many lives?
I do believe you can. I do believe that by listening to people and doing seminars like this, people can be trained to think of stuff that they normally would not have thought of. And you're not going to think of everything, and everything's going to be, some things are going to be different. But if you do drill, you do have your command center, you have a plan in place that tries to be as comprehensive as possible, you can prepare. It will make a difference.
Did the hospital kind of serve as the nerve center of the rescue effort because of the facilities, the expertise there, or did you cooperate with, say, county agencies? Or who was sort of the center for information and diverting resources to where they needed to go?
It was both. The hospital did a lot of it because we were a large, you know, we're the large facility there, and a lot of it was healthcare related. But we did work with the city command center as well in trying to establish what needed to be done.
And as I understand it, the hospital building itself was badly damaged, and obviously you've obviously broken ground for a new building that will go up and be completed in a few years. So what was the first, I mean, how did you provide immediate care once the tornado had passed? Were you doing it literally in parking lots and wherever you could find space, or?
We had set up a not an incident command, but actually a treatment, kind of an emergency triage area at the Memorial Hall. And so we had stretchers and cots and doctors and nurses there that they could treat patients and provide medicines and do IV therapy. I mean, we really did treat it like an emergency department. And then we did move into our mobile hospital. Within a week, we were able to move into that.
Obviously command and communication are very important functions. I understand the cell phone service was out, power was out for much of that immediate time right after the aftermath. How did you actually organize and get people together? What were the methods you used to get medical professionals where they needed to be?
A lot of it was word of mouth, and that we did use some two-way radios. We did use texting on our cell phones, and a lot of it we drove around and talked to each other, did face-to-face for the majority of it.
What kind of lessons you would hate, I'm sure, to go through that ever again, but if there is any good that could come out of something like that, you look for lessons learned, how you could be better, and then to pass that on to others. What are some things that you learned in that extraordinary time that maybe you would do differently or would do the next time?
Definitely get the disaster prepare plan together and make sure your staff, your community knows what that preparedness plan is, and push it out, drill it, update it, try to learn from it and grow from that every time, every chance you get the opportunity to do it. I really do think we wished our community was better prepared, that they knew that they had to have water on hand, that they'd have to have their medicines on hand and that type of stuff, and that would have helped a lot.
Obviously, the initiative was to help those who had been hurt, were brought in who had been trapped and were found probably in the intervening days. So first of all, obviously trauma was the first consideration. Were you able to get the staff together and at a centralized location and do that pretty efficiently?
Oh, yes. People just showed up when they found out that we had opened the emergency department in the Memorial Hall. That's where people came because they knew that's where the patients would be. That's where they were going to need to be. So people came very quickly. to that had no problems.
And what was it like, because obviously completely unfamiliar setting in a sense, what was it like performing, like you said you were in a tent for quite a while, probably in the open. What was that like performing medicine in very primitive circumstances?
It was very humbling. It made you appreciate what we had so much, but it also made you feel good that you were still able to do your craft. You were still able to care for patients even in the remotest circumstances. And with not all that training and supplies that you had had at the other place, it stuck with you, and you could still take care of patients.
And the other thing that I think I would not have thought of when you were talking about the five-year-old that had to have the appendectomy once the tent hospital opened, that people's normal health problems continued during this time. So you still had to not only address the people who were injured, but you still had to provide normal medical services. How did you do that as well as provide the trauma?
Well, that's where part of that 2,500 phone calls were, people asking, you know, what do I do? Doctor said I needed to have lab work today, or I need a prescription for this. We actually did send out communications that said things like, excuse me, we are, doctors will fill prescriptions during this time, come to Memorial Hall, and we'll be able to provide that for you. We'll be able to help you schedule an appointment to see the doctor. Because doctors, they did use that Memorial Hall as their office for quite a while.
And did local media have any help? I understand, I think one of the radio stations immediately after was helping direct because they still had power and could broadcast. And did local media help with some of the effort?
Oh, yes. The media was wonderful. The TV stations, the radio stations, everybody just did great to get out every information. All we had to do was send in the newspaper. All we had to do was send what we needed, and they got it out to people.